Morning Watch, Living a Christian Life and Church Life Under the Government of God for the Economy of God. Week 2, Living a Christian Life Under the Government of God. Monday, Related Verses. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. For it is time for the judgment to begin from the house of God. And if first from us, what will be the end of those who disobey the gospel of God? 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the full knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, he who has called you into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, will himself perfect, establish, strengthen, and ground you. Jude verses 20 through 21 and 24 through 25. But you, beloved, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verses 24 through 25. But to him who is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before his glory without blemish and exaltation, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, might, and authority, before all time and now and unto all eternity. Amen. Related reading. In his two epistles, Peter is on the subject of God's universal government. As we know, Matthew is on the kingdom. Do not think that the government and the kingdom are identical. No, the kingdom is one thing and the government is another. A country or nation has a government. The government, however, is not the nation. Rather, the government is the administrative center of the nation. Although Matthew presents the kingdom, the government is not found in that book. The government of God is in the writings of Peter. Mark presents service, Luke salvation, and John life. Thus, in the four gospels, we have the kingdom, service, salvation, and life. But we do not have the divine government. In his epistles, Peter makes up this lack by showing us God's universal government. God governs by judging. This is the way God carries out his government. As an elderly man who has some knowledge of world history, both by study and observation, I can testify that I bow before God. He is the governing one, and he governs by judging. God has judged Hitler, Stalin, and other evildoers. On the one hand, to some extent, God tolerated them in doing certain things that served his purpose. Nevertheless, God judged them. In 1 and 2 Peter, we have a record of God's judgment. God judged the earth by means of the flood, the deluge. Later, he judged Sodom and Gomorrah. The history of God's judgment also includes the judgment upon the children of Israel in the wilderness. During their years of wandering, the children of Israel experienced God's judgment again and again. With the exception of Joshua and Caleb, all of those who came out of Egypt, including Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, died in the wilderness under God's judgment. Furthermore, the Bible says that thousands of the disobedient ones were strewn by God in the wilderness. That was God's judgment. We should not think that God judges only evildoers such as Hitler and Stalin. God also judges his own people. According to 1 Peter 4, verse 17, God's governing judgment begins from his own household. The purpose of God's governing judgment is to clear up his universe. God will not live or dwell in a place that is unclean. Thus, God is cleansing, purifying the universe. First, he purifies us, his household. We are now the center of his cleaning work. Do you not sometimes say to yourself, why is it that the more I love the Lord Jesus, the more difficulties I have? My relatives are flourishing, they are doing very well, but my situation seems to get worse and worse. Some saints have problems with their health. Others are disappointed with their children. The reason we have difficulties is that God's judgment begins from his own household. You and I are under God's judgment. The reason the two epistles of Peter were written, especially the first, was that the dispersed Jewish believers were suffering persecution. They were undergoing a fiery trial. Peter compares this persecution to the burning of a furnace. Because the believers were troubled and perhaps doubting, Peter wrote to instruct them and also to comfort them. In 1 Peter 5, verse 10, he says, "The God of all grace, he who has called you into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, will himself perfect, establish, strengthen, and ground you." Here Peter seems to be telling the believers that there is no need for them to doubt, for God is perfecting them. Peter wrote to comfort the suffering, persecuted saints, showing them that all of them were under God's government. The exercise of God's government is first upon his own children.